On Thursday night, we spoke about the emphasis in Chazal for Bedika. And we saw that even though technically one could solve the issue of Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotze by being Mevatel Chametz, nevertheless, the Nesiv HaShalom HaGadol describes that you have to do Bedika because when it comes to preparing for Pesach, Tzarich L'Sakein Al Yidei Pu'ulos Mamish. It needs to be done through action. The Avodah of Pesach has to be done through action. Action is central to Pesach. For example, it comes to Karban Pesach, the Pasuk says, Mishchu Kulachem Esatzon. Drag the Karban Pesach towards you. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Mashcheini Acharecha Nerutza. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, in response, to pull us back to Him. And there's a very, very famous line on the Chinuch that I want to spend about 15, 20 minutes to try to understand the depth of it, and then we'll see how it connects to our Ben Azmanim. The Chinuch famously writes, on the mitzvos of Pesach, acharei ha-pu'ulois nimshachleis ha-levavois, that one's actions have to be a catalyst for one's ideas. And in truth, in talking to many Talmidim over the years, many have a hard time understanding that. Why is it that the Rosh Yeshiva sat with you this morning and described to you detail after detail after detail of halacha, and we focus so much on actions, halacha? Notice the word, what does halacha mean? Halacha means to go. Versus sometimes we don't focus on the machshava, we focus on the halacha. Why is that? And we will see b'siyata d'shmaya, I think it also connects to our Bein Azmanim, but what I'm going to explain to you tonight, I think is something that's extremely, extremely important in terms of understanding a lot of what we're doing in yeshiva as well. It happens to be that today is the shloshim of my Rebbe Reb Braunschweigel, Zatzal. And I've mentioned to you in the past that Reb Braunschweigel had an amazing, amazing point about the psukim in Sefer Bereishis that I think says so much in terms of understanding our Avodas Hashem. When Sarah is abducted, Avimelech says to Sarah, why did you lie to Avram? Why did you lie to me? And Avram gives a very strange answer. Avram Avinu's answer is, Rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. He says that there's no yiras shemayim here. What type of answer is that? There's no yiras shemayim? Could someone say I'm dishonest with somebody else because they're not orthodox? That's a ridiculous, ridiculous response. So what is Avram Avinu's response? Rak ein yiras elokim b'makom hazeh. Another question. Avimelech, when God visits him, Avimelech says, Bisam levavi, with a pure heart, uvenikyon kapayim, with clean hands, asisi zos. I did it with a pure heart and clean hands. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Bisam levavicha, you did it with a pure heart. Rashi points out, but there isn't clean hands. Nikyon kapayim enkan. There aren't clean hands. So two questions. Number one, what is Rav Ramavino's response? Rakin yiris lukim monkom hazeh. Question number one. Question number two, what does he mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says that you did it with a pure heart, but not with clean hands? And finally, this term, clean hands and a pure heart, actually should sound very familiar to you. Where do we have that? In Tehillim. We say it when we put back the Sefer Torah. Mi yale ba'ar Hashem, u mi yakum b'mkoyim kadshoy, Miki chapayim uvar levav. Someone who has clean hands and a pure heart. So question number three is, David HaMelech has the same value as Avimelech, but he inverts it. He says, what comes first is Miki chapayim, clean hands, and then afterwards, is a pure heart. What's the machlokas between David and Avimelech? Three questions. What's the change of the order from Avimelech to David? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avimelech, his hands are not clean? What does that mean? And what's Avraham Rabinu's response? Ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh. And my Rebbe Zatzal put out a very, very important yisod. This is going to be step one to really understand the halachic system and the emphasis of Iyun Batorah in general. My Rebbe pointed out, you could have a lot of beautiful ideas. In fact, he says he remembers as a child survivor of the Holocaust that before the war, even Germany was the center of profound ideas. It was the first country in the world that had a seat of ethics in a university. However, if morality comes from our seichel, if morality comes from our own intellect and it's not divinely inspired, so then rak ein yiras Elokim b'makom hazeh, man's rationale could be used to justify anything. V'haraguni al dvarishti. You'll say, due to Ashes Ish, a concern of adultery, you'll justify the murder of somebody else. And that exactly is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Avimelech. Avimelech said, what do you want? I did it nikich apayim. I did it with clean hands. Because it started with a pure heart, besam levavcha, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It started, it's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you did it besam levavcha. Your ideas were sincere ideas. But if you put your ideas first, if you do the opposite of David HaMelech, then ultimately you're not going to always end up with clean hands. Niki chapayim uvar levav, David HaMelech says Bahar Hashem. Only those who have that madrega where they start working on holy instincts, those are the individuals that will be zochet to go Bahar Hashem. I was zochet to know a holy Holocaust survivor. His name was Rabbi Anshul Tesler. Rabbi Anshul Tesler, in my mind, was the paradigm of an individual who represented tedirus, consistency and constancy in Avodas Hashem. When I would come as an 18-year-old, maybe on time for the 8:30 minyan, Rabbi Anshul had already done the Daf Yomi before the 6:30 shacharis. He had done the Daf Yomi after the second time around, and he was on his fourth time around in Landau's minion factory with the Pushka. In my mind, he represented constancy and consistency. He had a number on his arm. His entire family was killed on Kiddush Hashem. And he told his grandson, we were very close, but he never told me this story. He told his grandson, who used to be a Rebbe here, Rav Yaakov Tesler, he told his grandson that after the war, for the first 6 months, he was going on autopilot. And he grew up in a religious home. So he was davening, he was doing mitzvahs. Obviously, he was entirely broken. His family was gone. And one morning, he got up and he was angry at God. He was angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I'm not going to daven. So it's 9:30 in the morning. He reads the newspaper. Remember, this is the same man that I remember as a child as being the ultimate of consistency. 9:30, he reads a newspaper, he takes a walk, and he started getting hungry. And then he remembered the voice of his holy mother who was killed al Kiddush Hashem. His mother, who would say to him when he was a little boy, Anshul, far de davenin estminisht. Before davening as a little child, his mother told him, we don't eat. So he couldn't eat. He's not supposed to eat. Does he understand it? No. Does he understand God? No. But he just can't bring himself to eat. So you know what happened? He told his grandson, he said, I put on the tefillin and I screamed and I cried and I even cursed God. Not in the prohibitive sense, but in the angry sense. And that's the same man who I knew as the ultimate of Tadirus and Avodas Hashem. This morning, around the world, there were children that woke up, some unlucky mother, sometimes as early as 5:30 in the morning, and her two-year-old baby, or two-year-old toddler, you could call him David in the five towns, and you call him David Olamei Sha'arim. They climb into their mother's bed. Do you know what the mother says to them? Some in Yiddish, some in French, and some in English. Did you wash the Negelwasser yet? Does a child understand Tumah v'Tahara? We're learning Tumah v'Tahara now in the Kollel and Nida. I still don't understand Tumah v'Tahara. But my mother taught me from when I was very, very, very young that there's something called Netilas Yadayim. There's something called hands that are holy and chas v'chilah, hands that are impure. That is what David HaMelech is saying. Niki chapayim uvar levav. That comes first. So Avodas Hashem is not about simply about ideas. Avodas Hashem is inculcating into ourselves, what would the words be? Holy instincts. It's about creating holy instincts as we've described in the past. That's step one. Step two, you could ask me a kasha. And that is, you'll say, Rebbe, I want to follow Avram Avinu. I don't want to be like Avimelech. I want to follow David, and I want to be like David HaMelech, not like Avimelech. But why this technical system? Why can't we do it with the Vekus? Why is it that there's such an emphasis that Herb Schneider goes around to present the yeshiva? There's an emphasis that our yeshiva is about two siddurim of understanding Gemara and Halacha. Why don't we do it by inspiring also half Thursday night Mishmar every morning as well? It's so inspiring. It's a good kasha. But there's something missing in that question. What's missing in the question is an understanding, a deep understanding of what Talmud Torah and the Vekus is all about. Nefesh HaChaim says it so beautifully in the beginning of Shaar Dalet. Nefesh HaChaim describes a medrash. David HaMelech, when he completed the most important book and the greatest bestseller in the history of mankind that was written by a human being. Obviously, the greatest bestseller in the history of mankind that was written by God is the Bible, is Tanakh. Is Torah. What's the greatest bestseller, divinely inspired but written by man, the most inspirational book in the history of mankind? It's Tehillim. David HaMelech finishes Tehillim, and when he concludes this most important book of spiritual inspiration, David HaMelech asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take my time that I took to write this book and turn it into as if I was Osek in the Halachos of Tumah and Tahara. Ask Nefesh HaChaim, what does that mean? And Nefesh HaChaim explains, I'm paraphrasing Nefesh HaChaim, giving maybe the omek, the depth of Nefesh HaChaim, might not be mefurish what I'm saying, but I think this is what the pshat, what Nefesh HaChaim says. Nefesh HaChaim says that what David HaMelech was saying was the following. There's something called Dveikus. Dveikus means to be close to God. When you're davening to Him, when you're singing to Him, when you're having an inspirational moment, you're being dovek. You're creating a close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're closing the gap between you and God. But Talmud Torah and Halacha and living our life for Halacha is different. The Zohar tells us, Yisrael v'oraisa v'kutcha b'richu chadu. How is someone supposed to attach himself to God? As described in a few times in Sefer Devarim. What does it mean? God is Elo guf v'Elo dmos haguf. Someone who lives in a world where they're only trying to attach themselves to God, then the odds are, or they run the risk, of trying to attach themselves to something physical, to turn chas v'chalila table into God, because they want to feel proximity. They want to feel, but how can you feel proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's how you overview. There's no proximity in the physical world between man and God. Says the Zohar, and says in Nefesh HaChaim, the way in which we attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is becoming one with the will of God. The more and more we learn Torah and Halacha, every nuance and every detail, the more and more we become one with the will of God. That's how we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through inspiration, Dveikus and Tehillim, we create a proximity with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We create closeness. But there are times we're going to be close and times we're going to be far. But through Torah and Halacha, we become more and more one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think I have a good way to convince you about this idea. Here's the mashal. Fascinating mashal. I want you to get to think, this will also hopefully get you to think about your relationship with your Rabbeim. Another thing that happens when Rav Schneider goes to America is nowadays, if I'm not mistaken, it's been so long since I've been on the scene, but nowadays, what's the most important thing that guys are looking for? The guys who are looking for good things in the yeshiva, they're looking for a kesher with a Rebbe, which is a beautiful thing, right? Kesher with a Rebbe. Kesher with a Rebbe is a beautiful thing. But let's now talk about two Talmidim. One Talmid, it's 10 years later. Both of them finished Shanabet, of course, finished Shanabet in yeshiva. 10 years later, Talmud Reuven kept up his kesher with his Rebbe for the last 10 years. He calls him when he needs advice about school. He calls him when he's dating. He keeps up the kesher with the Rebbe. He's zocha that his Rebbe comes to his wedding, but they keep it up not only until age 22, 23. They keep it up 25, 26. When he has a child, he's in touch with his Rebbe. Age 30, they're still in touch. Every time the Rebbe comes to town, he comes and he visits him. And then there's another Talmud, Shimon, from the same year. Two great guys from the same class. Shimon is not as good as keeping in touch with his Rebbe. Maybe his parents can't afford to fly his Rebbe in for his wedding. And he doesn't always call him every time he has a child. 30 years old, Reuven Shimon, 10 years after they've been in yeshiva. You ask the guys from that Shanabet year, who embodies the lessons and the morals and the ethics of the Rebbe, Reuven or Shimon? They say Shimon captures it the most. Who's closer to the Rebbe? Reuven has greater kesher. Reuven has greater proximity. Shimon has become one with the essence of the Rebbe. Lahavdil says in Neves Chaim, both things are true. We should have the Vekus, we should have a Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we should body the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the only way we reach the point of embodying the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we begin to think every single step of life, both when we go to work and when we prepare for Pesach. What exactly is the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And so therefore, Torah, in Amelus B'Torah, and Iyun and Dikduk HaLacha, is much more than just simply Deveikus. It's about becoming one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's one more reason. There's actually more than that, but the time is already late. There's something else that comes out when we're medakdek ba'alacha. There's something more that comes out when we're not simply focusing on what is the machshava, we're focusing on halacha. Rabosai, many of you are going to be going back, and we're not yet talking practically about bein hazmanim, but I want to talk about biklali, and then review everything what we've said. But many of you are going back to a place, and I want you to learn this word and know this word well. A place that's full of relativism. A place where there aren't absolute values. A place where whatever a person wants to do and feels like doing is by definition correct because that's what they want to do. Talmud Torah and Halacha emphasizes that there is an absolute truth. That we believe that there's something called a right and there's something that's called a wrong. The Halacha is that it's mutter or it's aser. L'chatchila b'di'eved. There's something called matzah, and there's something called chametz. And we search for the chametz. You know, one time I saw Reb Braunspiegel cry after he told one of my favorite stories that some of you might have heard from me already. And that is, Rabbi Zalacharev came to the yeshiva of Elozhin, and he was looking for a prize buffer. Word got out that he was looking for a son-in-law. And he had a bomb kasha. And on that kasha, he was looking for a deep and precise answer. And he raised the question in Yeshivas Volozhin, and no boy was able to answer it. After a couple of days, Rabbi Isaac Harif decided, Rabbi Kron made this story famous. I remember hearing it from my Rabbein before this story was famous. And years ago, this is how Rabbein reacted to this story. There was a boy that ran out of the Beis Medrash. And he ran to the wagon, and I'll tell to you in the Yiddish as I heard it, and I'll translate. The boy said to Rabbi Isaac Harif, who was one of the Gaonei Ador, he was the Rav of Navardik, he said, Rabbi Isaac, forget from the Shidduch. Rabbi Isaac, forget about the Shidduch. Aber wie azoi kennst der gehen von Volozhin mit Akasha an a Teretz? How could you leave Volozhin with Akasha without a Teretz? And of course, as the fairy tale goes, Rabbi Isaac turned to the boy and he said, you're the one I'm looking for. By the way, my 8th grade Rebbe told me the name of that boy. His name was Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. You can't make that name up. Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. And I saw a picture of the Rav of Navardik, one of the last Rabbanim of Navardik, with a long white beard, Rabbi Yosef Schlupper. Sure enough, Rabbi Isaac Harif's son-in-law. Now, my Rebbe Rabban Shpil, when he said this story, I heard this twice. Once from my Rebbe in 8th grade, Rabbi Lippa Geldorf, who said the name, and Rabban Shpil Zatzal, when he said it, Rabban Shpil, when he got to that punchline in Yiddish, he began to cry. And I was thinking, why was my Rebbe crying? And the answer is that to my Rebbe, that represented the essence of what Talmud Torah is, and that is there's a search for truth. Halacha represents our search for an absolute truth. Talmud Torah represents our search for that absolute truth. Rabbosai, maybe we could connect this to the Haggadah. Let's review what we've had up until now. We've seen two steps. Number one, we spoke about why it is that it's important not just to have ideas. That was step one. And we spoke about the idea of holy instincts. Holy instincts that we learned from the give and take between Avram and Avimelech. And then we asked the question, fine, but why can't we create it through Machshava? And the answer to that question was two parts. Number one is that Gemara and Halacha is bonding with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number two is it's a statement of an absolute emes and a search, an unbridled attempt to search for emes. In regards to holy instincts, maybe it just dawned on me as I was thinking about this, as Schneider asked me to talk to you about this, it just dawned on me that this is what we say back to the Rasha. The Rasha says, Ma avoda azos lachem, and we say, Lefisha hotzi esatzo naklal kofar be'ikar. He took himself out from Klal Yisrael. And then we have another line. V'af ata ha'ke esheno, v'amor lo, b'avur ze osa Hashem li b'mitzrayim, li v'lo lo, we say to the Rasha, God took me out of Mitzrayim, but if he would have been there, he wouldn't have been redeemed. He wouldn't have experienced the end of the exile. What does the Rasha say? Ma'avoda! He says, why you have all this action? And the answer is to come out of Golos, to come out of concentration camps, and to still hold on for Klal Yisrael to come back from the depths. You have to inculcate this idea. And all of us are going to have high points in our lives and low points in our lives. If we're not going to develop holy instincts, we're not going to reach that end point. If we think that our ideas are always going to capture the place that we're supposed to go, we're going to fall chas v'chalila very short. Ilu ayasham loy hayanigal. So now let's see what we've done. We've seen why holy instincts is important, and we've seen why amelus through Torah and working on every detail in halacha is going to bring us to that place. Now let's refer to the Bein HaZman. Let's begin this thinking about the Bein HaZmanim. We've shown that holy instincts is absolutely critical in Avodas Hashem. Being sincere and having nice ideas is not enough. Sometimes we need things that are a lot more than that. We have this chus, and may this be a refuah shleima and a yeshua to have someone who sits in the back who's one of the biggest gaonim that I know, and his name is Rav Shai Gerson. Rav Shai has an amazing line. And now we get practically to the Bein HaZmanim. Rav Shai says, when you're young, you make your habits. And when you're old, your habits make you. Rabosai, now is a time in your life where you have the opportunity to create and inculcate inside of yourself holy instincts and holy habits. In yeshiva, that's one thing. It's what we're doing is we're sort of giving you a guide. We're giving you a compass. But at the end of the day, the next few Beina Zmanims that you're going to have, that is ultimately going to define who you are. Your habits are going to define what you are and how you are. So, Rabosai, begin to start thinking about the details of what your habits are going to be. After davening, is it going to be a coffee or a small Tropicana orange juice that's going to be next to your Gemara or your Chumash or your Tehillim? But now is about deciding what is going to be those habits. And so much of who you're going to become are those small habits. It's amazing how habits really, really make a person. Now, don't be overambitious. Don't be underambitious. But I'm even more concerned about Talmidim who are overambitious than underambitious. Talmidim that are motivated, they'll be fine. But sometimes, if you take on too much, then chas v'chalila, there's an expression in Chazal, nisparda ha-chavila, then the whole bundle is going to fall apart. So, what you want to do is say to yourself now, these are the things that I think I could do. I'd like to do even a little more. Start for a few days. What's going to happen at 9 o'clock? What's going to happen at 9:30? What's a realistic minyan to daven at? Or what's not a realistic minyan to daven at? Once you develop that sense, and then say, and if things are going really well, that 11 o'clock, I'll add this. And 9:30, I'll add that. And that this applies not only to Asei Tov, but it applies also to Sur Meira. Shema benin musar avicha v'al tintosh v'toros minecha mina raglecha minisiva sam. Our actions are not only our actions of things that we do l'tov, but there are certain things our legs don't go to. I've said in the past a story that I think is so important, even though it's not necessarily relevant to everybody here in the details, but the yesod is relevant to everybody. I was once walking out of one of the Haredi minyan factories in Ramat Beit Shemesh, a very special place. And the boy comes up to me, a boy in yeshiva, probably has never left Israel in his life. And he comes over to me and he says to me, Efshar Sicha. So literally, if you translate, means, can I speak to you? But he wasn't interested in speaking to me. I thought someone wanted to actually talk to me. No. Efshar Sicha means, can I borrow your phone? So I pulled out my phone, and I have a smartphone without a browser. And the boy looked at it, and he realized it's a smartphone. All his rabbeim told him that it's usur to use a smartphone. And I'm not exaggerating. He looked at it, and his hand began to tremble. His hand began to tremble, and he said, Ani lo yachol, and he gave it back to me. A Torah Shraga boy also needs a place where his hand trembles, and he says, Ani lo yachol. There are certain things that you create as a habit. You don't necessarily understand it. At that moment, maybe there's no reason it's a problem because of X, Y, and Z. It's mutter because of A, B, and C. No! Menah raglecha minisiva sam. That's tip number one. Tip number two. So we're talking about actions. These are tips, benogel and maisa, because that's been our shmuz today, talking about the chashivas of maisa. Kibud aveim. I hope, and if it didn't happen, then you have to go over to Rav Schneider and Rav Olshin and Rav Stamen and complain to them that it didn't happen, but I would imagine that it did. I hope after the last 7 months you've gained a deeper appreciation for your parents. That you spend some time thinking about a karas hatov that you should have for your parents. But that's not enough. It's not enough that you appreciate your parents more. Bipolo mamish, as the Nesiv HaShalom said, that Pesach is about an action. A person actually doing things differently, not only in theory, but b'polo mamish. I was telling some of the Grus guys that my daughters and my boys, both my daughters and sons and daughters, were taught that when their parents walk into the room, they stand up. I remember the first time one of our children learned, my wife was like, came back to me in the kitchen. She said, "This is strange. I said, no, don't say anything. It's good. It's good. Not good that they're standing up for us. But the idea that they were taught, that your parents, you stand up, you room with, so when I told the Gruss guys, they said, if we would do it, it would be like a joke. It would be a galachter. So I don't know what to say about that, about how that translates into the United States of America. But the point is, what my children were taught is that Kibud Av V'Em is not just an idea. Kibud Av V'Em is something that we do bepoel mamish. And therefore, I want you to think, before you go back home, to think about what are the things that you're going to do b'kibud av v'em b'poel mamish. And by the way, Reb Braunschweigel Zatzal used to say, you've grown so much in the zman. Your parents are not going to be able necessarily test you whether you understood how to read that Rashi on the Gemara or that Tosas. Some of you are lucky that your fathers are able to see your growth and learning. And some of you won't have that. My Rebbe said, you know how your parents are going to judge whether you've grown? Your parents are going to judge whether you've grown in Torah by the type of person you are in helping others. B'poel mamish. So that's the second application of it. So number one is creating the habits, b'poel. Making sure that the habits are, on one hand, realistic but not overambitious. And the second thing is in terms of kibud av v'em. And finally, the last thing, of course, we're coming from yeshiva. The essence, our lifeblood, is tefillah and Torah. B'poel mamish. Daven with a little bit more energy. Daven with a little bit more of a call. Daven out loud. It's not enough to think that you're in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But a person b'poel. There's so many ideas that you've heard, so many beautiful ideas that you've heard in the Gemara. It's not enough when you do Chazara to review those ideas in your head, but say them. Chazal speak about, there's a big discussion in both Shas and in Poskim, whether Kol is considered, whether Dibur is considered a Maisa. Not just to simply have those ideas, but to turn it into Maisa. And when you do that, something amazing is going to happen. Torah is going to become more and more part of your Ramathe Varmin Shesagidim. It's not just going to be an idea, but it's going to transform into the essence of who you are. And this point about doing Chazara B'kol is so important. With this, I conclude. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Adaf Tzadi Tesamid Aleph says that someone who learns and doesn't do Chazara is like someone who's Zoreya Ve'ena Koitzer, someone who plants, but he doesn't cut off. All of the amazing things that you've done, accomplished in yeshiva, haven't yet been cut off. You've planted, but they haven't reached the harvest. The Bein Azmanim is one of the times where that harvest happens. Now notice Chazal's expression, Zareya Ve'ena Kotzer. How long does it take a farmer to plant? You know how difficult it is to plant? First, you have to turn over the soil and then turn it over again. And then you've got to go and put the seeds in. And then you've got to go and turn over the soil again. And then you've got to water, v'chule, v'chule, and then you've got to pull out the weeds. And all those things. How many hours does it take a farmer to plant? Maybe thousands of hours. How long does it take for a farmer to cut off the apple? To cut off the cucumber? A fraction of what Zriya is. All of the ideas that you have percolating in your head are still waiting to reach that place b'poel mamish. It's still waiting for you to chazer b'kol, to put it into words, to share it with others, and to say over to yourself. So these are our three tips for today that started with the fundamental idea that we spoke about before. We're speaking about Pesach as being the tkufa of action. That's why it's not enough to do bittel in Chassidus, they say. That's why it has to be done b'bedika. And the three things that we spoke about today are making sure that we begin to ingrain ourselves, not only ideas, but habits. Working on kibud av v'em, not just in its theory, but b'poel mamish. And finally, that our Talmud Torah and our tefillah should not be something we just believe is important or we connect with intellectually, but something that we work on that becomes part of us in our Amathe Varmin Shesagidim. If we think about where these ideas come from, these ideas are also the basis of so much of Avodas Hashem. That ultimately, a Jew is not simply about someone who has nice ideas. Avimelech also had nice ideas. Avimelech started b'sam levavi, he started with a pure heart, but he had it backwards, David HaMelech pointed out. He didn't start with Nikki Chapayim, he didn't start with holy instincts. And the need for that also explains why our obsession as B'nai HaYeshiva is one in which that we're obsessed for finding the truth in every single part of Avodas Hashem. Because, ultimately, feeling close to God is not enough. Ultimately, the Nefesh HaChaim tells us that it could very well be that even though the Kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so important, even though the Kesher with a Rebbe is so important, at the end of the day, there's something actually deeper than that. And that is becoming one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately, when we begin to believe that we're becoming one with the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we begin to broadcast to the entire world. There's one corner in the world, in Yerushalayim, and a few pockets around in the United States of America and a few other places, that there is an absolute truth. There's an absolute value still in this world. There's a God. There's a Dayan. There's a Din, and there's a Dayan. There's Emes. There's Sheker. And there's Avas Hashem and Yeres Hashem. May you be Zocha, B'siyat, B'shmaya, and the Bein HaZmanim to live that.
Wait a minute. Sir, the ground has a producer.